Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we will begin 13 lines from the top of Kuf Lamed Beis. You'll notice a slash mark in the middle of the line and a Tanaic source that follows. You can see a framed source beginning with the expression Hazrov Alachayim. Before learning the Gemara, let us take advantage of one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of Gemara markings, that is the Gemara that you see on your screen. On the side, on the outside margin, we have a topic heading. We offer, as new topics arise in the Gemara, little synopses, topic headings, titles, and structural notes when necessary, that we call Mivneh. The Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Actually, we of course said to look at the topic heading, so let's see what we've written there. Machloikas Tanoim, Bechiyuv Matonos, Bekilayim, Shotzvi Habo Alataisha. We will see a Tanaic controversy regarding the need or the obligation of giving Matonos, the Zroa L'chaim V'keva, from an animal that's the result of a crossbreeding between a Tzvi and a Taisha, a deer and a goat. In this case, the father, the male, is a tzvi, is a chaya, and the mother is a taisha. There is a great deal of background that's really needed for appreciating this sugya. However, we who are learning the Daf Yomi have the benefit of having received that background from learning the relevant sugyas found much earlier in this Masichta, way back on Daf Ayin Tes Omid Beis. There is a reference to this. So we are going to be relying for, we'll say, the fuller appreciation of this discussion, not based on our explanation that we'll offer today, but based on our having learned this in the past. Of course, if you're a first-time listener, we would highly recommend going back to those sugyas to enable yourselves to appreciate this more fully. So we are going to talk about the slaughtering of a crossbred offspring. The father of this is a type of creature that's not obligated in matonas. Only the mother of this offspring. The question that, or the issue, the background information that is appropriate for this involves how much of a role does the father identity in this offspring play? The father identity in this particular case is one of matonus exemption. If, for example, one emphasizes the mother. So the mother, being a goat, is a type of animal that is obligated to have the matonos given from them. If we say that the identity of the child is determined exclusively by the mother, then we would say there is a matonos obligation. If you say that the father plays a role in the identity, and we speak about identity, we're not talking about genetics, but we're talking about halachic classifications. So if you say that the father plays a role, so he represents exemption from the matonis. Let's see how to apply this in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Hazra l'chayim v'keva, nohagim v'kilayim uv'koi. The obligation of this tithe of Zroa Chaim Akeva applies in a crossbred animal and with regard to a koi. A koi is the subject of great discussion in other Gemaras, so for the our purposes right now, we'll just refer to it as a koi. Rebbe Elazar Omer, Kilayim habo mino eiz u mino rochel, chayev matonas. A crossbred animal that's a result of both parents being what we call behemos, let's say a crossbreeding between a sheep and a goat, both on the father's side and the mother's side, there is obligation. So naturally, in the offspring, there will be obligation. Min hakoi poter min hamatonas. However, that which the a koi, on the other hand, will be exempt from matonas. There is a machlokas tanoim in this source revolving around koi. The Gemara will focus in on this and will also be raising a question. And you can see that we have a long question marking, as is indicated by the shin that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. So as we go on in the Gemara, we'll be exposed to information that will eventually lead us to raising a question. Michti, kaimolon. Michti means let's look into this. Kaimolon, we hold the le'inyan kisui hadam umatonis lo mishkachas lei elo bitzvi habo al hataisha. That as far as the topic of covering blood from slaughtering, that's called kisui hadam, we are not going to emphasize that in our current discussion. And regarding matonis, the lo mishkachas le means you won't find the Tanaic controversy, you won't find a basis, we'll say, for this Tanaic controversy between Rebbe Elazar and the Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachomim, as we saw in this source, unless we focus on a specific case, and that being the case of a deer, male, mating with a female goat, and the resultant offspring. We're focusing on the offspring of that union. Once again, the machlokes between these tanoim is only with regard to this case, and that's what we want to focus on. As the Gemara says, you won't have a machlokes other than in this case. And further background information, ubein the Rebbe Elazar, ubein the Rabbanon, both of them, both of these tanoim, misafka lehu, are in doubt. Do we take into consideration the father identity in the offspring or not? When the Torah uses the word se, where the word se appears, which is a reference to a behemoth, there are different halachas that apply to behemoth, that apply to chaya, that may apply to both. So when you see the word se, does it mean even something that's partial se? In our case, the word se includes goats. In our case, we have something, in the case of the Tzvi Habala Taisha, the Taisha is a subcategory of se. The offspring is a miktsas se, is a partial se, is possibly classified as partial se. That is, if you take the approach of ein choshishin lezarav, that the father identity is discounted, if you took that position. In our Gemara here, we're saying that issue is a point of doubt. But if you took the position that ein choshishin lezarav, that the father identity is discounted, so then you would be left with an offspring that's identified only by its mother, and it wouldn't be a miktsas se, it would be a full-fledged se. Now, as far as the machlokes tanoim between Rebbe Elazar and the Chachomim, here the Gemara explains. Mar sovar se vafilu miktsas se. The Tanakama that says that there is a that the Zroach Chaim Akeva are binding when it comes to a koi, he will take the opinion that even Miktsaseh is obligated. Even if something is Miktsaseh, would be obligated. Umor Savar, Rabbi Lezer, who says there's exemption, will tell you, Sev afilu Miktsaseh lo amrina. Notice with the markings how we use a singular quotation marks to indicate a phrase, so that we were able to read this as one expression, Sev afilu Miktsaseh, this idea of something being a partial seh, lo amrina, we don't say that. In other words, if there is an area of halacha that is behema oriented or seh oriented, then it would have to be a complete seh, not a partial seh. Now, the question comes to a head. Bishlamo Rabbi Eliezer de Potar, I understand Rabbi Eliezer's position that says that there is exemption from matonis. And once again, we're talking about the dashed underlined case that we had above, Tzvi HaBala Taisha. I understand his taking the position that that's exempt. Kosovar, he is of the opinion, seh velo mitzah seh, only something that's complete seh, not partial seh. This Vlad, this the child that results here, is a miktsas seh, bearing in mind that the father happened to be a non-seh. Elo l'rabbonon, nehi nami de kosavri sev afilu miktsas seh, granted that they may take the position that even a miktsas seh is of seh status, nevertheless, palga lishkoil, half should be given, half of the matonis are to be given of this offspring. The idoch palga, the other half, though, lema lay, let the owner say to the kohen who comes to collect it, I see Raya, you bring proof, the Ein Choshishin Lezera Ha'av Ushkoil, that we definitely discount father identity, father role, and if we were to definitely discount the father identity, so then this would be a complete set. Because all you would be left with is the taisha, the mother seh status. However, until that point, maybe there is choshishin lezera av, and if that be the case, so then you would at best have a miktsas seh, only partial seh. If it's partial seh, so there should be partial matonis. So as we see, as far as the Shitas HaRabbonon is concerned, granted that they are willing to say that even a Miktsaseh would have obligations, the Gemara goes on, Palga Lishkoil, let the one who is coming to collect take half the matonis, the Idoch Palga, the other half, Lema Lay, let the owner say to the one, to the kohen who wants to collect, I see Raya, the Ein Choshishin Lezera Abushko, you bring proof that we don't consider the Zerav, we don't consider the father identity, and take, and then, and only then take. The problem is, why do the Rabbonin say that the Matonis are obligatory in this case? At best, they should only be partially obligatory. Omar Rav Huna Bar Chiya. Before we go further, we now encounter a triangle, and this is explained under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. These triangles represent Shnei Deo Yismai Shitas Rabbonon B'chiyuv Matonis Shel Kilayim. What is the position of the Rabbonon regarding this matter? So you have Rav Huna Bar Chiya, and a few lines later you'll see Ravin. Omar Rav Huna Bar Chiya, my Chayov Nami Deka Omar, the chiyuv that the Rabbanan spoke about in the case of kilayim. What does chayov mean? Chayov b'chatzi matonas. Chayov means in half the matonas. Mosiv Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera raises a problem, and you'll see a long question marking, the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a vertical dashed line indicating all of these lines form the question. Mosiv Rabbi Zera, koi yesh boi drochim shovin lebehema. There are aspects of a koi that make it similar to a behema. V'yesh bo drochim shovin l'chaya, and there are aspects of a koi that are make it like a chaya. A chaya is a non-domesticated kosher variety animal. V'yesh bo drochim shovin l'chaya ulebehema, and there are aspects of a koi that make it similar to both a behema and a chaya. Ketzad, well, how is this figured? We're talking right now about a koi. We should mention that an opinion regarding the koi is our very discussion. The result of a tzvi habo ala taisha. So it says regarding the koi, ketzad chelboy osur kechelev behema. The chelev found inside of a koi is forbidden, like the chelev of a behemoth is forbidden. Of course, in contrast with chelev of a chaya, which is allowed. V'domo chayav l'chasos kedam hachaya. If you slaughter a koi, you have to cover its blood as you are expected to cover the blood of a chaya that's slaughtered. Once again, in opposition, in contrast with a behemoth, that when it is slaughtered, there is no kisui hadam obligation. Drochim shovin lebeima ulechaya, aspects in which the koi is like a behema nachaya, shedomoi v'gidoi asurin kebehema v'chaya, the blood and the gid is forbidden, like is the case by a behema and a chaya, v'chayov b'zroel chayim v'keva kebehema, and there is a chiyuv of zroel chayim v'keva from a koi, like is the case with a behema, v'belezer poter. And Rebbe Lezer says that there would be exemption. Ve'im Esau, if it were so, like Rav Huna Bar Chiya said that the Rabbonon are Mechayev Chatzi Matonas, in this source that we just read, where you can see we dashed underline Chayov, Chayov bechatzi matonas miboyale. It should have said that in the case of the koi, which is a result of the tzvi habala taisha, that the chiyuv is only for half the matonas. That's what Rav Huna Bar Chiya had said, and yet this source doesn't say that. The Gemara answers, Aidi detona chelbo v'domo, since this source spoke about the dinim regarding the chelev and the dam, the lo mats masni chatzi chatzi, the term half the chelev or half the dam would be preposterous. It wouldn't have read mishum hachi lo kotoni chatzi. Therefore, here in this section of the source that's dealing with matonas, the word chatzi did not appear. But once again, that's only because of a structural consideration. But as far as legality is concerned, it could have, in fact, taught Chayav b'chatzi hamatonis. Ki osa rovin omar Rabbi Yochanan koi l'rabonon Chayav b'kulu matonis. A different opinion in what the Chachomim hold, and that is that when they say Chayav, they mean in all of the matonis. Desanya, we have a source. Shor, this once again is a quote from the Pasuk that we've made reference to before, Dvorim Yudches, Pasuk Gimel. We saw this pasuk quoted on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. So, just for the sake of review, let's read the pasuk. It said there, "Veze mishpat haKohanim me'es ha'om me'es zovchei hazevach im shor im se v'nosan l'koin hazorah v'chaim v'keva." So the pasuk makes reference to im shor im se. The Sanya, the Brisa says, Shor, Matam Olomer Im Shor. Why does the Posuk say Im Shor? The Rabbo says a Kilayim. It comes to include Kilayim as being obligated in Matonis. Se, Matam Olomer Im Se. What is the purpose of the Im in this Posuk, in this part of the Posuk? The Rabbois es HaKoi. To include Koi as also being obligated in Matonis, which is, as we said, the Koi, which is the case of the Tzvi Habo'ala, Taisha, will be obligated in Matonis. So this is the basis of Rovin's Halacha, where he says that it's Chayav. Rebbe Eliezer, Ha'im Lomali, what does Rebbe Eliezer, who holds that there is exemption, what does he do with the Im? He needs it for telling me that the obligation of Matonis is for one of these two. In other words, one should not think that there is no obligation Matonis unless he slaughters both a shor and a seh. Comes along im to tell me either one or the other. That's lechalek. V'rabonon, lechalek minolahu. Where do they learn this idea of individuality? Nafka lehu me'eis zovche hazevach. The word hazevach is in the singular, indicating from the posuk saying from that which is slaughtered, not in the plural, indicating even one. Rebbe Lezer, hai me zovche hazevach mai ovid lei. What does Rebbe Lezer learn from this phrase? Miboya lei lichid rova. He learns from it the rova, the teaching of rova, the yomar rova, hadin im hataboch. Looking at Rashi at the end of the lower part of the narrow lines, Hadin im hataboch, dinoi shel kohen litvoa min hataboch hamatonas. The kohen who is expecting to receive matonas, he goes, his address, so to speak, is the one who slaughtered the animal. V'afal pishena behemo shel taboch, even though the slaughterer doesn't necessarily own the animal, elo mishel achirim, it may be owned by others. Nevertheless, it's the slaughterer's obligation to separate the Zorachayim v'keva and to ensure that the Kohen receives it. Therefore, the Kohen goes to the Taboch to get his Matonis, and that's what the Pasuk says, Zovche Hazevach, the one who slaughters it is the one who is obligated to make sure that it's given to the Kohen. As we continue, we now encounter a Mishnah, a new Mishnah, which features a ta'aroves, a mixture where animals got mixed up. Bechor shenisarev b'me'a, a bechor of a Yisrael, got mixed up with 100 other animals. Bizman shemea shochatin eskulon, when you have 100 people doing the slaughtering of all of these animals, in other words, one person is slaughtering one animal, then kulon potrim es kulon. Then all of them exempt the others from matnas kahuna. We should point out that a bechor is a firstborn animal that's given to a kohen and brought as a sacrifice. When you have a bechor, so there is no separation of matonis that's made from a bechor. And since in this mixture you've got a bechor mixed in with all the animals, so the Mishnah teaches us that the presence of the bechor in this mixture exempts all of them from the need for giving the matonis. Echad shochet is kulan. If you have one person shechting all of these animals, ein potrin lo elo echad. Only one of the animals will be exempt. In other words, This one slaughter can't claim that each one is a bechor. At best, he can claim one is a bechor. However, in the case of 100 people slaughtering 100 animals, the one animal that each one is slaughtering, he can claim this is the bechor. And thereby, in such a case, there will be exemption of all of the animals. Hashochei l'kohen l'oivei tichav potter min amatonas. One who is slaughtering for a kohen or for a gentile, so there is no matonas obligation. V'mishtatef imoyim tzorach shiyirshom. Someone who joins up with a kohen or a gentile has to make a mark or some type of simen, a sign that people should realize that this animal from which we won't be giving the matanas is an animal that's not completely owned by a Yisrael, so as to prevent misunderstanding. Some type of sign has to be made that this animal is partially owned by a kohen or an oved kohavim. The im omar chutz min hamatanas poter min hamatanas. If a kohen said to Israel, I'm going to sell you an animal, but I'm selling it to you besides the matonis, meaning I'm not selling you the matonis. Potter min hamatonis. So the Israel who bought the animal from the Kohen will not be obligated to give the matonis, because he, in effect, never bought them. Omar mechor li b'nei me'al shapora. A Yisrael said to a slaughterer, a friend of his who slaughters animals, sell to me the innards of this cow. V'hoyu bohen matnas. And there were matonas in there. Namely, the keva is one of those innards. Noisnon l'kayin v'enu menakalu min adamim. The keva is to be given to the kohen, and the purchaser cannot insist on a discount. As we have learned in a previous sukya, when this Mishnah was quoted, we had learned that he knew when he was buying the innards that a keva was in there, and in effect, he did not pay for that. He may have received the delivery of it, but he is expected to then give it to a kohen. Lokhan heimenu b'mishkal. If he purchased the innards by weight, and everything was put on a scale, and he would pay a per pound fee, noisnon lakohen, the keva that's in this box of innards, in his delivery of innards, he would give the keva to the kohen, umenake lo min adomim. However, the purchaser, can insist on a discount from the one who sold it to him. The Gemara, in turning to the beginning of the Mishnah, asks, V'amai, why in the case of the mix-up of animals is there a p'tur of matonas? Yavo alav kohen mishnei tzadim. Why couldn't the kohen approach the slaughterer and say, the mishnei tzadim means from two sides, from two aspects, v'lei molei, and say and argue as follows. E bechor hu, if this animal is a bechor, then kulei didi hu, then it is mine entirely. V'e lav bechor hu, and if it's not a bechor, it would mean it's a chulin animal, then hav li matantoi, then at least give me the matonas. It's a chulin animal. Why did the Mishnah teach that if you had 100 animals and 100 people are slaughtering, that they are all exempt? Is it not so that the kohen has a very strong claim on each one of them, and the result being that he should get at least these royal chayva keva? Omar Rav Hoshaya, at the top of Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, Rav Hoshaya answers that the case is a very, very specific case. The Mishnah features a very specific case. The animal had once been in the possession of a kohen, and the animal developed a blemish, and at that point the kohen sold it to a Yisrael with its mum. Rashi at the top, Omer Rav Hoshaya, Hochav Eskinan, De Katoni Masisin, De Pochin Es Hulan, that the presence of the Bechor exempts all of them. Bebo Oisa Bechor Liad Kohen. it's a case where that Bechor, the one Bechor that got mixed in with all the rest, was a Bechor that had already been given to a Kohen, the Nofal Bo Mum Kavua, and a permanent blemish had set in. So that when this Kohen comes along and says, hey, you know, if it's a Bechor, then it's completely mine. Well, that's just not true. This Bechor was already given to a Kohen. So as far as the Bechor Kohen ownership aspect, that has already been taken care of as a non-factor in this new Kohen's argument. We should point out that as a result of the Bechor developing a Mum, and it having been given already to a Kohen, it now becomes the property of the Yisrael. A Bechor Baal Mum is something that is can be shechted and eaten almost regular meat. I say almost because there are other halachas that apply, detailed halachas, but it is the property of the Yisrael that bought it. Therefore, the Kohen, who's now coming along with his claim that if it's a Bechor, it's completely mine, is simply not true, not true anymore. Hashochet l'Kohen l'Ovid k'chovim potim min ha-matonis. The Gemara asks, "V'lisni kohen voivid kechavim p'turin min hamatonos." Why does this Mishnah teach the one who slaughters for a kohen? Just say that kohanim and Gentiles are exempt from matonos. Omar Rava Zos Omeris. This Mishnah teaches us hadin in imatabach. The fact that the Mishnah emphasized that the slaughterer, for the one slaughtering on behalf of the Kohen or the Gentile, shows us that the claim of Matonis is laid against the one who slaughters, that he's the major figure, the central figure in the claim for collection of Matonis. Dorash Rava Me'es Ha'om. The Pasuk that we have referred to already today and in previous Shiurim, Dvorim Yudches Posuk Gimel, it says Me'es Ha'om, that Matonos are collected from the people, Velo Me'es HaKohanim. This excludes Kohanim. Kishu Omer Me'es Zovche HaZevach, when the Posuk says that Matonos are collected from those that slaughter, Heve Omer Afilu Taboch Kohen B'mashma. That would teach us that a Kohen who became a Taboch, who became a slaughterer of animals for the purpose of sale, so even though he happens to be a Kohen himself, but he's slaughtering animals for sale, he is obligated to give Matonis. The Rashi says across from here, "Kshu Omer Me'ezov Chiyazeva Klomar Mi Shehu," whoever it is, afilu Kohen, even a Kohen of the Havi Kohen Shnasa Taboch. This includes a Kohen who became a butcher Limkor for the purpose of sale. Aval Abehemo Shu Shochet Litzorcho Potter. However, an animal that he's slaughtering for his own purposes, for his own consumption, that is exempt. The topic heading that we are assigning to this Gemara is found on the outside margin. Kohen Shu Taboch, a Kohen who is a butcher. Ma Dino B'matonis. What is the law regarding him with regard to Matonis? The Gemara continues. Ushbezichne D'Rabbi Tavlo Kohen Havne. Ushbezichne is the one who runs an inn, who hosts someone. So Rabbi Tavlo used to stay by a particular innkeeper, who happened to be a Kohen, and he was having financial problems. He was poor. Also, the Kamed Rabbi Tavla. So this Ushbezichna came to Rabbi Tavla with his complaint that he is experiencing financial difficulties. Omar Lay. So Rabbi Tavla gave him an eitz. He gave him a piece of advice. Zil ishtatef b'hadi tabchi Yisrael. Why don't you join in partnership with a butcher shop owned by Yisraelim? Demigu demiftari mimatanto mishtatfi b'hadoch. That since they would become by virtue of your joining with them, you are a Kohen, by your joining with them, they would thereby become exempt from Matanas. That would be a serious motivation for them to have you join them in partnership. And of course, then you'll have a new source of income. Chayve Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, quite to the contrary, obligated that Yisrael that made a partnership with the Kohen. He said, basically, sorry, Mr. Yisrael, you're going to have to give out matonas. You're going to have to part with the Zerah Chaim Akeva, even though you partnered with a Kohen. Amale, so the Yisrael said to Rav Nachman, Va Rabbi Tavla Patron, but Rabbi Tavla said there is exemption. Amale, Rav Nachman said back, Zil Apik, you go and give out your matonis. V'ilo, and if you don't cooperate, mafkino loch Rabbi Tavlo me'unoch. I'm going to pull Rabbi Tavlo out of your ear. Well, that's a literal translation. And Rashi here explains, I will dismiss all of the proofs that that he may offer. I have seen in other Gemaras that this expression is a reference to excommunication. It's a way of saying cherem, an excommunication. Also, Rabbi Tavlo kameid Rav Nachman. Now, Rabbi Tavlo, who just became aware that his ruling was repudiated by Rav Nachman, comes to Rav Nachman. Amarle, my time ovid mar hochi. Why did you rule thusly? Amarle. So Rav Nachman answers Rav Tavlo and says, "Dechi also Rav Acha bar Chanina midrama." When Rav Acha came from the south, Omar, he reported. We have a couple of lines, three lines we have in quotation marks. This is Rav Acha bar Chanina's report. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, v'chol ziknei darom amru, Rabbi Shua ben Levi and all the sages of the south have said, koyen taboch, shtayim v'sholosh shabosos poter min hamatonis. A kohen, butcher, for the first 2-3 weeks that he is working like this, he is exempt from matonis. It's the first 2-3 weeks he's not known as he's not established as a butcher, and they don't know, you know, people don't know that. Therefore, if he keeps the matonis, it won't create a sense of misunderstanding. Mikan ve'elech chayav b'matonis. However, if he continues in his role as a butcher for more than 2-3 weeks, he is obligated in the matonis. And we featured here a Kohen who was joining Yisrael as a taboch, as a butcher. Omar le, Rabbi Tavlo says to Rav Nachman, v'leved le mor mihas krav acho bar chanina. Why not treat this case at least, or at least as Rav Acha bar Chanina, which would mean offer an exemption for 2-3 weeks. Yet you said that the Yisrael is obligated immediately in giving the matonas. Amalei, Rav Nachman answers, Hani mili de lo kava maschisa. The exemption that you heard about for 2-3 weeks is when there was, you were dealing with someone who was slaughtering animals, but they weren't slaughtering in the context of a shop, of a store. Avalocha hokova maschisa. But here you have a Kohen joining with Yisraelim in partnership in a meat shop, in a store. And this shows us that it's a kavua, an established commercial operation, and as such you don't benefit even from this brief exemption, but rather based on what we saw before, the pasuk said me'es zovchei hazevach. We learn that Kohen, who happens to be selling meat, slaughtering and selling meat commercially, just like our case here, there is a matona obligation, and therefore I obligated this Yisrael that joined up with the Ush Bezichnei, the Rabbi Tavlo, to part with his matonis immediately. We have, as we go on in the Gemara, a double underline, which is one of our series markings. You can see on the side under our Mivneh heading, Meimros Shrav Chisda Be'inyin Matonas. We'll see comments as we go down the Omid, comments of Rav Chisda having as a common theme the issue of Matonas. Omar of Chisda, Hai Kahana the Lo Mafrish Matanta. A Kohen that's slaughtering an animal and doesn't give the matonis to another Kohen, Leve Bishamta de Lekei Israel, he is to be placed in Cherem, in excommunication. Omar Rabo Bar Rav Shilohani Tabchi de Hutzel. The butchers of Hutzel. Hutzel is the name of a place. Kaimi b'shamta de Rav Chisda ha'esrim v'tartin shonin. They have been continuing in a state of excommunication for 22 years. L'mai hilchasa. Of what importance is it for me to know that they were in excommunication for 22 years? You notice triangles. These represent stages in understanding the 22-year point. E lema desu lo mishamtinon lehu. If you are to think that they won't be in excommunication any further, that's not true. Vahotanya. The simple fact that 22 years passed doesn't mean they won't continue to be in this state. It has been taught as follows. Bamed v'mamurim, the comment of su lo mishamtinon, this idea that there won't be any further cherem, that's b'mitzvahs loisase. That's when one is in violation of negative commands. Avol b'mitzvos aseh, however, when it comes to positive commands, which is something we are dealing with right now, that you're obligated to give matonis, when it comes to positive commands, kegoin omrim lo aseh sukkah v'eino oseh, lulav v'eino oseh. It's like in a case if you tell someone, make a sukkah, and he doesn't make a sukkah, prepare a lulav, and he doesn't do the lulav, aseh tzitzis v'eino oseh, make tzitzis for your garment, and he doesn't do it. We have a right to beat him until his soul departs him. So that you see that as far as mitzvos aseh are concerned, there is no limitation. So the question comes back, and that is, what do I have to know? Is why does Rabba Bar Shilo tell me that the Tabchidutzel were in Shamta for 22 years? Elo the kansinon lehu below asraisa. It tells us that at this point we will fine them without any prior warning. That after they have experienced cherem for 22 years, we will fine them for their not giving the matonis without any warning. Kiha de Rava konis atma. Rava would seize from them thigh meat and give that to Kohanim. In other words, in addition to the fact that they were obligated to give matonis, well, he would seize from them thigh meat and give that to a Kohen. That would be a fine. Rav Nachman Yitzchok konis glima. He would take their clothing. Their glima is a cloak. He would take from them. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a new comment of Rav Chisda's in this context. V'yom Rav Chisda, Zroa le'echad v'keva le'echad l'choyayim l'shnayim. In dividing out these matonis, Zroa chayim v'keva, the Zroa is to be given to one Kohen. The keva to one Kohen. In other words, not to split the Zroa, not to split the keva. L'chayayim l'shnayim. However, the l'chayayim can be given to two Kohanim. The Gemara asks Amy, V'ha ki also Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar b'marova palginon lehu Grama Grama, he said that in Eretz Yisrael they would split, Palgimas to split Grama Grama, each portion, each piece. In other words, the Zroa would be divided amongst two. So the Gemara answers that is true. Hasam b'detura. That's where you were dealing with a tura, as a shor, a large animal. Where you have a large animal, so its limbs and organs are also large, and therefore, even if you would split it, each person would be getting a reasonable portion. However, when you're dealing with a small animal, if you take its limb and split it into two, the respective portions would be so insignificant. And the pasuk says, "V'nosan lekohen." The word, the expression "nosan," implies that you must give a reasonable, a respectable portion. Omar Rabo Barachan Rabbi Yochanan, also lechol mibehemo shalohurma matnosa, is forbidden to eat the meat of an animal from which the matonos have not been removed, have not been given out. Omar Rabba Barachan Rabbi Yochanan, kol ochel mibehemo shalohurma matnosel, anyone who eats from an animal whose matonos were not removed, were not tithed, kilu ochel tvolim, it's as if he is eating tevel. Tevel is a very severe offense when it comes to untithed produce. It's a something that carries with it a penalty of misa b'day shamayim, a very severe penalty, death at the hands of heaven. So Rabbi Barachana here in his second halacha is telling us that eating from untithed animal meat would be like eating tevel. However, v'les hilchus kavosei, the halacha is not like that. And that is that even though there's an obligation to give, to separate the matonas from the meat, from the animal, nevertheless, if one doesn't do it, it doesn't grant, it doesn't label the meat as tevel. Omar Rav Chisda, matnas kahuna ein nechos elatzli, the ein necholos elabachardo. Matnas kahuna are to be eaten roasted and with chardo. Chardo, some translate it as mustard. My taimo, why is this? Why is this the expectation? Omar Kro, the pasuk says in the context of the matonos, it says lemoshcha, and the explanation of that word is ligdula, kederech shehamlochim oichlim, the way that the kings eat. So it's understood by the Gemara that the way people of importance would eat their meat was roasted and with chardal. So therefore, one who receives the matonos, the kohanim who receive the matonos, they should eat it the same way, with it prepared in the style and the way of important people. The Omar Rav Chisda, Esra Rabba Matonos Kahuna, there are 24 matnas kahuna, Kokain Sheino Boki Bohen Ain Noisin Lo Matona. Any Kohen who doesn't know how they are to be eaten, in other words, following from what we just learned, if he doesn't know that they are to be roasted and eaten with chardal, so we don't give him matonas. And the Gemara says, Veles Hilchas, Veles Velav Milsehi. The Gemara rejects this though and says that's not true. In other words, there is a element of the population that you don't give matonas to, but it's not a reference to those who don't know how to eat matonas. Rather, we will see very shortly, if you have a Kohen who denigrates the korbonos ceremony, korbonos ritual, and makes light of it, and ridicules it, he does not get matonis. However, not someone who simply doesn't know this halacha of tzli and chardal. The sanya, the source, begins here, and we are basically starting a long point that continues till Kuf Lamed Gimel, a number of lines from the top. If you just follow the long point marking that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, you will see how far this extends. This sanya, the source says, Reb Shimon Omer, kol kohen she'eino moideh bavoida, ein lo chelek bekuna. Any kohen who does not acknowledge the significance of the Avodas HaKarbonas, or maybe even more accurately, he makes light of it. Rashi says, "Sha'omar belibo divrei hevel hein velotziva amokim la'akiv lo karbonas," that this is the sacrificial activity is empty, and the Almighty never would have commanded us about it. Elo Moshe bodo belibo, Moshe Rabbeinu made it all up. Well, anyone who says that, he's called a kohen shein amoda b'avoda, ein lo chelek b'kahuna. He does not get a portion of what Kohanim ordinarily get. Rashi says, "Ein lo chelik b'kodshim." He doesn't get a portion of sacrifices. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Hamakriv es dam hashlamim es achilev mibnei Aaron lo tiyashoy kayamin lemona." One who offers the sacrifices, he gets the portion. "Ein li elazeh bilvad." Well, as far as the pasuk is concerned, I would learn only shok is what he would not get if he's not moedib avoda. Minayin l'rabo is chomesh yisra avodas. From where do I know to include not only the hakrovas hadam, the pasuk that we just made reference to, that in order for him to receive a portion, he has to be moedib avoda, he has to acknowledge the significance of the sacrificial procedure. The pasuk itself says hamakriv es dam. Makriv, Rashi explains, is hoilocha. So it might, if I had just this pasuk, I would think only the need to acknowledge avodah is only the significance of holocha, the carrying of the dam to the mizbeach. What about all other kinds of avodas hakorbanas? What about all of those that he is expected to acknowledge and attach significance to? Kagon. And now we have an extensive list of different procedures in sacrificial activity. We will go through them. Hayitzikos. This has to do with the pouring of oil in a meal offering. Vablilos, that's the mixing of the flour with the oil. Vapsisos has to do with the breaking apart of a mincha offering, the breaking it into smaller pieces. Vamlichos is to do with salting. Tenufos, waving. Hagoshes, drawing near to the mizbeach. Vakmitzos, taking a handful. Haktoros, the burning. Vamlikos is the slaughtering of bird offerings. The kabolos, that's the receipt of the blood, kabolos adam, vazos, the sprinkling of the blood, vashkoa sota, in the case of a married woman suspected of immorality, she is given water to drink, varifas egla rufa, this is already a non-Beis HaMikdash activity, but it's the breaking of the neck of a calf in the case of a murder victim found between two cities. The taras mitzora, the purification of someone who had been a mitzora, unasias kapayim, the blessing the kohanim do, the priestly blessing, bein mitzvim bein bimachutz, whether it be in the Beis HaMikdash, whether it be outside the Beis HaMikdash. How do I know regarding all of these different activities that a kohen must acknowledge their significance in order to receive a portion? Tamalomar mibnei Aharon. That's what it says in the pasuk. Avoda amuru livnei Aharon. Service that is stated for Aharon, for bnei Aharon, for kohanim to practice. V'chol kohen sheinu moedebo. Ein lo chelik b'munah. Any kohen who does not acknowledge the significance of these things does not get portions. Taimo the eino modeba. The reason he doesn't get a portion is because he doesn't acknowledge their significance. He belittles it. Ha modeba. However, if he acknowledges their significance, afagav the eino boki bohen. Even if he's not expert in how to eat it, nevertheless he does get a portion. That is the end of our long point, and with that, we also conclude our shiur.